Welcome to another episode of What Matters in North Carolina. I'm your host, Matt Calder, and we have a good show for you today. We're going to be talking with Demi Dowdy of the Civitas Institute about the violent situation in Charlottesville and surrounding issues around that topic. But first, before we get to that, I want to talk to you about subscribing to the podcast. If you're not already subscribed to the podcast, you're missing out on the most simple and easiest way for you to listen to the podcast and get it onto your phone or your tablet or your computer. Just go where you listen to podcasts and search for What Matters in North Carolina, subscribe, and you will get the latest shows straight to your device. Also, if you're not already following along on social media, you want to make sure you're doing that on Facebook and Twitter by searching What Matters NC. Again, it is What Matters NC. Or if you want to catch more episodes of this show or more shows on the Freedom Action Network, do that by going to freedomactionnetwork.com. Now, we will move right into a segment with Demi Dowdy. So joining us now, we have Demi Dowdy coming on for an extended media meltdown segment this week, where we're going to talk about what happened in Charlottesville and more really what happened after Charlottesville and is still happening in North Carolina and across the nation. And I mean, so that's why we've got you here today. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me again.
So I guess I'll give a quick rundown of everyone who is coming out from underneath the rock they've been under for this entire week. There was a protest in Charlottesville, Virginia, of the planned decision to take down a statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee.
Right.
And this was a protest that was a conglomerate of neo-Nazi groups, white supremacy, white nationalist groups, not very nice people, about 500 or so, showing up to protest taking down the statue. Anti-protesters or counter-protesters, the Antifa, you know, the anti-fascists, the Black Lives Matter, these groups show up as well.
With mace and urine-filled balloons.
And, right, and all sorts of unhappy things.
Yes,
and about 1,000 or so, you know, about twice as much as the original protesters, filling up the small, you know, Charlottesville, Virginia, sleepy college town during the summer, pretty sleepy town. And there's violence that breaks out between them. And police come back, step back in, split them up, throw them out of the park. And in a site near the park where a march was getting planned or put together by the counter-protesters, a white supremacist takes his car and just rams into them, killing a woman.
Yeah.
And now we are in the fallout stage of this, where there's vigils, other protests here in North Carolina and across the country.
Right.
So that's kind of the stage. So where do we go from here now?
Sure. So, you know, obviously the media have lost their minds and can seem to only focus on one hate group who was present that day. And I fully understand that this group of white supremacists, white nationalists, neo-Nazis, were the original protesters on the site, right? And they are, by definition, in my opinion, evil, despicable. They are a hate group. But unfortunately for the media and their narrative, hate speech is protected under the First Amendment, just as it is protected when it comes from Black Lives Matter or when it comes from Antifa. What is not protected by the First Amendment is violence that happens as a result.
And exactly. That is kind of a core point that you want to, I guess, bring up. And
yes.
So you had these protests, and let's say, rewind the clock, the protesters, they have their permit, and we can talk about all the issues surrounding the permitting process, the police response, all that stuff is another conversation.
Sure.
But so these neo-Nazis and company have their protests where they're espousing these ideas that I would have thought we put to bed back in the 40s. This is, you know, they're peacefully espousing their craziness. That's fine.
Right.
The counter-protesters show up and are protesting their point, and they are espousing their viewpoints. That's fine. If everyone stayed peaceful, they can yell at each other if they want to, but if everyone had, if there had been no action, no throwing of things, no mace, no,
right,
you know, fisticuffs, no violence, person to person. If they had done that, they would be within their First Amendment rights. But when violence broke out, I mean, and it became an unlawful protest. At that That's point, right. it was said to be, and they pushed people out of the park where they were at, Emancipation That's right. Park in Charlottesville. So then that's when things turned.
It is. And you know, you can talk all day long about, you know, hypothesize all day long about who started the violence. And neither you or I were there, right? So we don't know. And there are obviously conflicting reports. But there is one fact here, and that is that a woman was killed. And the woman was not killed by Antifa or Black Lives Matter that day. But a woman was killed by a neo-Nazi who ran through a crowd with his car. And so I think that makes it very easy to blame all of the violence that day on just one side, right? And I think that we need to be a little bit more logical and look at how things escalated. And things did not escalate just because of violence on one side.
Right. And see, that point, though, is so lost outside of this building, and this, it's lost in the media, it's lost in the political sphere, that let's look at the problems on both sides. I mean, this right. is what President Trump was condemned for saying.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
And he's saying,
and it won't go away.
Oh, I know. And I, whatever he said wasn't going to go well for the people who are opposed against Trump, vehemently against him. But judging on what he said from the outside, he's saying violence on all sides of this situation is wrong. And there is, you know, video evidence of violence from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be extremism on both sides.
Right.
And this is the whole point is, you know, you're saying it's wrong. President Trump said it's wrong. I'm saying it's wrong on both sides. But if you're not only saying it against the white supremacists, you're labeled as a sympathizer. You're labeled as someone on that side, which could not be further from the truth.
Right. So unfortunately, to your point, the being logical and looking at all of the facts apparently makes you a racist. And that's why up until now, I really haven't verbalized this, especially not on social media, on my personal social media, because it's not worth being called a racist. And it's for most people, and it's not worth being attacked. So it's unfortunate that we can't talk about ideology without being labeled a racist. And not only can we not talk about ideology, but we can't debate facts of a very real set of circumstances that happened in Charlottesville without, as you said, being labeled a sympathizer and being labeled a neo-Nazi. And it's very unfortunate, because if we can't actually boil down to the facts, then we can't actually solve the problem that resulted in violence, right? And if we can't debate ideology, we can't debate the facts respectfully without it being so charged, then we will never actually solve the issues at hand.
Oh, exactly. I mean, if you can't have the conversation, you can't move the needle anywhere. You can't go anywhere from it. And this, so you and I would say, are in the middle of this situation, very, very obviously. I mean, There's the Black Lives Matter Antifa mm-hmm. on this one side, and on the far side of the other way,
mm-hmm.
there's the neo-Nazis, the white nationalists, white supremacists. And we're not in either one of those camps.
Sure.
Like I said, I'm the guy standing in the middle saying you're both stupid. Like, I'm the guy standing in the middle going...
And I would say evil. I mean, to be honest, I would say both are evil. But again, evil speech and hate speech does not... is still protected by the First Amendment. And it doesn't mean also that you're violent.
Oh, yeah. And I'm saying, so we're here saying, I'm not with you, I'm not with you. Mm-hmm. And that's not, the narrative does not want that. What's being put out on the media and social media and the political figures who are pushing this do not want there to be a middle ground. They want there to be this division. It seems that there has to be this desire for there to be a division in these sides. And that doesn't help anybody.
Right. No, it absolutely does not. And it's unfortunate because, as I said, we can't talk about ideology without being labeled a racist. But then the left has seemed to take it a step further. And this is something that I've written an article about on nccivitas.org. Not only are you labeled a racist, but you're publicly shamed now. And there are certain individuals who have become or take it upon themselves to become the thought police. and say that if you disagree with them or if you say anything to the contrary of we should destroy every neo-Nazi and white supremacist and they are the only hate group that is violent, then you should be destroyed, your livelihood should be destroyed, and you should be publicly shamed.
Exactly. I mean, and you and I sitting here having this recording, you're having this conversation, this, what I believe is logical talk, talking about there's problems that you're going on, there's definitely problems with the neo-Nazis, there's been problems on the other side, having this very normal conversation is seen by many as extreme.
It is.
Because I'm not sitting here only yelling and talking about how wrong neo-Nazis are. Mm-hmm. For the record, neo-Nazis, awful. White supremacists, awful. White nationalists, awful.
Right.
And because I don't stop there, I'm opposed. Because I also say that extremism on the other side is a problem. Because you're saying extremism on both sides is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly we are on a certain side. That is so illogical to condemn everything on the extreme, all the extremism involved in the situation.
Right.
Puts you on a side.
Right. Well, and it doesn't just put you on a side. They label you as dangerous, Matt. And I think that labeling and that mob mentality of going after anyone who does disagree with you or does look at all sides and tries to insert logic into this debate, I think that is dangerous. And I think it's also a very slippery slope. And so now you have people like Logan Smith from Progress NC, who's being hailed all over the country right now by CNN and by The Hill and by NBC. And he's being interviewed on national news outlets talking about what a noble thing it is that he has summoned a mob on Twitter via his Twitter account that he created. Yes, I'm racist. He is a hero, and he's labeled a hero for outing people via photos from the crowds in Charlottesville, via photos from Trump rallies, and via their own Twitter feeds and words that they use that he deems as racist. Suddenly, we are in a very, very dangerous slippery slope that people are being outed and they are actually losing their jobs as a result. People are calling for them to be fired and asking their employer to fire them. Lena Dunham recently did this when she said that there were airline employees that she overheard saying very transphobic things, again, according to her, and asked for them to be fired. And Jennifer Lawrence has jumped on the bandwagon on Twitter, too, outing racists on Twitter, again, by her own definition, and asking for them to be fired and their livelihoods to be destroyed. This is scary.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people are being put into a box that is being defined by others. I mean, this is a huge issue, I think, that people of us, if you're not in the popular thought process, the popular ideology, if you're not, or even you even could be, but if you're not willing to condemn offhand just based on someone else's words. So someone comes to me and says, here's a situation. If I'm not willing to immediately call that person out, if I go, well, let me just find out more information. And I'm not referring to Charlottesville. I mean, looking at what groups showed up to that protest, it's very obvious who was there in the protest. I'm not even talking about the counter-protesters. I'm talking about just other situations.
Sure.
Where you're expected to just offhand immediately say the opinion, whatever the opinion is. And if you don't, you're labeled as sympathetic to it, part of it.
Right.
It is a very slippery slope where you end up with one thought, and if you're not part of that one thought, you're on the wrong side of history, the wrong side of the issue. And that's not what America's built on.
Right.
It's built on other bunch of ideas coming together and working out what's going to happen, working out how things are going to go.
Yeah, it you join the mob and the thought mentality of the mob, or you're vilified. And that's what's so dangerous and scary. And that same mob is, you know, now they're taking very violent action. They're taking action like taking down monuments without any official process to decide whether that should or should not happen. They're taking the law into their own hands and actions into their own hands. And they're doing some really crazy things now. And it's really scary.
Oh, it is. And what I think about, so Governor Roy Cooper put out his statement about monuments and how they should be brought down. And it's very interesting how he separates between how the, you know, the protesters can get hurt, how it's dangerous and all this mm-hmm. stuff. It's very, and it take me a second to find it, but basically he's talking about how it's dangerous for the protesters because they could hurt themselves taking down these monuments. So here we go. My first responsibility as governor is to protect North Carolinians and keep them safe.
Right.
I agree with that idea. The likelihood of protesters being injured or worse as they may try and try to topple any one of the hundreds of monuments in our state concerns me, and the potential for the same white supremacist elements we saw in Charlottesville to swarm the site, weapons in hand, in retaliation, right. is a threat to public safety. So, it's going, the protesters could hurt themselves taking down these monuments, mm-hmm. and then you have these other people, which white supremacist elements seems to include more. When you look at Governor Cooper's statement, mm-hmm. it is two sides. It seems to say there's two sides.
Right. And there's certainly not any reasonable people in between who want to debate it on its merit.
Right. And that's the kind of language I just so disagree with, mm-hmm. that we're not seeing the ability for people to not be in a side in conversation from a lot of people who are in power right. or have a lot of influence. There's this protesting, this the word escapes me right now, but this resistance to letting people not be on a side or on a far side.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And the other thing, too, is that there's no doubt in my mind that this is politicizing by Roy Cooper of the issue of the day. And this is not something he ever discussed before, okay? He suddenly has an opinion on something that he never before had an opinion on. And he decided to do an op-ed. He tweeted the other day, the night, actually, that happened in Durham, that the monument was ripped down. And somehow before that, he never had an opinion on this. And I don't think that does anything but divide. And exactly to your point that you were making as well, it does nothing but divide. And that's really unfortunate to have in a governor.
Right. And his statement really, it puts in a box any opinion about Confederate monuments that is not, they all need to be torn down. It really puts people in a box in that. It creates the two groups of, you're either a protester trying to tear them down and you might get hurt, or you're a white supremacist who wants to swarm the site, weapons in hand.
Right.
And that's just not true. There are ways to have arguments about, well, what are the different monuments? Mm-hmm. Is there a deference to something that's been up for 200 years or, 150 years versus mm-hmm. something that was put up 10 years ago, 20 years ago?
Sure.
You're talking, and it's a nuanced issue.
That's right.
We were talking before the interview about, is there a difference between a statue of Robert E. Lee and a monument to the foot soldiers who died in the war, who weren't fighting
That's right.
necessarily for slavery, or maybe they're fighting for their home or the different motivations. Is there a difference between an obelisk to hundreds of unknown Confederate soldiers who were Americans versus one leader of the Confederacy?
Yes, there is a difference, right? And there's an argument to be made that there's a difference between honoring the leader of the Confederacy, which could be appalling to some, and honoring the deaths of everyone who fought in that war, who were all Americans.
Right, and not even talking about where you land on that conversation, just the ability to have that
That's
conversation
right.
is being taken away time and time again on so many fronts, it seems like. It
right.
seems like if you want to have the conversation, you're put into a side.
Right.
And that is not good for anyone. Not being able to have a conversation about a topic without it being so politically charged that just by having the conversation, your stance is identified for you is a really bad road.
It is. And I think as we've gone down that road, it's become abundantly clear that the left has no interest in civil discourse. They have no interest in having a nuanced debate about the things you're talking about or anything else. They're only interested in silencing the other side. And that's the bottom line. And we discussed also earlier, that's why the conversation about racism, which certainly does exist still in our country, unfortunately, that conversation is so charged because the left does want to immediately silence any difference of opinion as being racist.
And that's a bad road in its own right. I mean, I agree. Racism still exists in this country. And I think in a lot of ways, it is either getting worse or more in the front forefront. I think about from when I was growing up versus now with my young daughter looking at the world she's going to grow up in. I feel worse about the world that she's looking at, honestly. Sure. And there's a statement in Cooper's release that could get him in trouble. And with the people I don't want to say pandering to, but with sure. the people who are against amendments, he says, second, I've asked the Department of Natural and Cultural Resources to determine the cost and logistics of removing Confederate monuments from state property, as well as alternatives for their placement at museums or historical sites where they can be studied in context.
Right.
So he is opening the door there for preserving these monuments.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many who are calling for the destruction and tearing down these monuments who could jump on that and jump on Governor Cooper for saying this, saying he is sympathizing sympathizing with this cause they're against. When, if you're looking at it, and a lot of these historical markers are already at historically significant sites to the Confederate, yep. To the Confederate yeah. battles, Union battles, the Civil War, but they could jump on this statement.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot more fallout from this. And unfortunately, as you pointed out earlier, Roy Cooper, Governor Cooper, does not seem to care about the opinions of all North Carolinians. He has been firmly planted on one side of this issue and made that very public now. And it sounds like he's going to take action.
Yeah, and it does seem that way. And he's got some legal hurdles to taking action there's been a law passed about removing Confederate memorials.
That's right.
It was passed a couple of years ago. It's a hurdle. So there's limited things that could be done by Cooper to actually carry out taking down these monuments. So we'll see where that sort of goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that this is one of those, if you're not 100% in lockstep with the narrative, then you're 100% against it. And that is never a good idea. That never goes to a good place throughout history in my mind. That not being able to have even a conversation about whether or not you have differing opinions. Not even final product opinion. Not even action, final product action. Just shutting down the conversation about it. Like, I've fully believe I could go talk to somebody and they would just maybe think I might have a different opinion and we might have the exact same opinion, but we can't even get to that point.
Right.
And that's not a good place to be for anyone.
No, it's not. And you're right. I think that the thought police and unfortunately the left who is very powerful right now and in North Carolina, that is Governor Cooper. They just want to silence. And that is the most dangerous, part of the fallout, I think, from Charlottesville is that we've already seen that happening, and we've seen it already be a slippery slope in this country, but I think it's going to continue to devolve until they get what they want, and that is that any dissenting opinion is silenced for good.
Right, and what this sort of reminds me of is the Dylann Roof shooting in Charleston. And you remember that one?
I do,
you went
yeah.
into the church, and so after this, there was that shooting. There was that image that came up with a Confederate flag, and the Confederate flag was vilified to the point that Dukes of Hazzard was taken off the air.
Right.
A show that I grew up loving watching, Bo and Luke Duke. So, and it was very successful. I mean, if you think about where have you seen the Confederate flag versus now, and it seems like this is a round two. It seems like coming out, but it seems that no one really learned anything from the way it went around before, because there was a lot of contention. There was a lot of anger on multiple sides coming out of that. And I feel like we're repeating that situation. We're right back there.
I think you're right. And again, they're just not going to stop until it ends the way they want it to end.
And what you said earlier, I want to go back to the slippery slope. Mm-hmm. If you remove the Confederate monuments from, you know, state property or from public property,
right,
but then put it in museums, what's next? What's the next thing that's going to be gone after? What is the next thing?
Yeah, if you take it to its logical end, then you're going to see these things removed. Anything that the left deems necessary to remove from history could be removed from museums. And that's what they'll do next. And then they'll remove it from history books. I mean, we've already seen an editing of history from the left. And unfortunately, it's infiltrated our public schools. And it's infiltrated our state colleges. So that is the problem, absolutely. That if you take this to its logical end, it doesn't stop here. If you take them to their logical end, conservatives take them to their logical end, and you say it from the get-go, then you're called crazy, right? But that is where they want it to go.
Well, I think about, so we have a problem with neo-Nazis now. And if we go back, when do we start editing the history books and removing the Holocaust mm-hmm. from being taught and learned about? When do they shut down the memorial at Auschwitz? When do they start removing those things to the point that people aren't learning about these mistakes that the human race made in history?
Mm-hmm.
When do we not learn about the Trail of Tears and not learn about how the Native Americans were taught or were treated? When do we stop teaching these things? And after that, you know, when do you repeat these things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Unless it fits the left narrative, then it will not exist in the future.
I mean, there's the quote, those who do not learn history are doomed to repeat it. And there's mm-hmm. quote, you know, questions about who that quote came from. But it is a good quote and a lasting quote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so I think that's where we'll leave it. So thank you for coming on. And
thanks, Matt.
And going over all of this with us.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you to Demi for coming on and talking with us about what's going on in Charlottesville and all the craziness really surrounding this issue and the issue of Confederate monuments, and really that stuff is ramping up even now. It's still a huge issue. It doesn't seem to be going away as a lot of these issues spike up and drop, but we will keep tracking that and seeing what's going on there. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you aren't already. Follow along with us on social media on Facebook and Twitter, and go to the Freedom Action Network website at freedomactionnetwork.com to catch more episodes of this show. Catch you next time.